All right, we're going to look today on the message of accepted or rejected. And last week when I was preaching, acceptance kind of come up in one of my side points, and I just thought it'd be good to maybe elaborate on that a little bit today and to help us to deal with this, because sometimes, you know, we have some issues in life in our social interactions, I believe. I think that sometimes we may not feel comfortable in every situation that we're thrown into. And I think that can affect also our walk with God. Because have you ever struggled, you know, fitting in sometimes? You know, I've been in a lot of functions, you know, where I just went in there and I just knew that this ain't me. But I had to make the best of it. I had to do something about it, you know what I mean? So, and sometimes we don't feel like we're accepted in those situations. Maybe we're, you know, maybe not dressed quite right, or maybe we come from the wrong side of the tracks. Our church is on the other side of the tracks out here, you know what I mean? You know, them things happen. And but it's very important that you and I learn how to deal with these sort of things and in our interactions, and especially in our Christian walk, because always feeling like we are on the outside looking in can be devastating to our faith. You know, we need to get our self-image built up in God. You know, it's not about what we do, it's about what He's done through us and what He's done in us. And it'll work, it'll cause us to, because what happens if we don't do that, it's going to cause us to work for something that God freely gave us. Okay? God freely gives us things. You know, we are in the family of God. You know, and when we're in a family, there's certain rights and privileges that come along with that. To be able to enter in and to be a part of things, you know. And we've all been to those things where, you know, sometimes, have you ever been to a family reunion and you maybe haven't been around those people for a while? I mean, it's kind of weird, ain't it? You know, sometimes. You know, you just kind of go in there and you just kind of, everybody's changed. You know, we've all changed a little bit, but you go in there, it's just kind of like a deal where you know you're going to be there for a couple, 3 hours, and you don't want to sit over there on a table all by yourself, do you? I mean, then everybody talks about, oh, aren't they unsocial? You know, stuff like that. So you want to try to learn how to interact, and I think it comes from within, being able to see who we are in Christ. And that, I'll be honest, once I met Jesus Christ, it takes a lot to impress me. You know what I mean? I mean, I've been impressed, you know, by God. And, you know, in the relationship that I have with Him, you know, I don't feel, you know, where I'm a second-class citizen with anybody. But we're going to start off talking about a marriage situation right now. And that's kind of a different one, but it's found in Esther chapter 4, verse 11. Now, Esther, as we know, was a little Jewish girl. And her uncle kind of was bragging on her a little bit. Anyway, he brought her in, and she, through a process of situations, all of a sudden became the queen. You know, she was in a harem, and make a long story short, and all of a sudden she got promoted to being a queen. And her husband, he was a different cat, if you know what I'm saying, kind of different. We're going to look at that. I mean, hope this ain't your dynamic at your house, but it says in Esther chapter 4, verse 11, it says, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he is to be put to death, unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit today. Lord, we thank you for the unction to come. Holy Spirit, I yield to you. Holy Spirit, have your way. Thank you that you are the teacher. I yield the gift you give me. I bind up the devil from stealing the word out of our hearts. Lord, we just thank you for you have put us here for such a time as this. And Lord, we just step into that calling in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, many of you know the story, but just for kicks, I'm going to share a little bit of it. You know, there was an evil man named Haman, and he hated the Jews, and what happened was they was going to put the Jews to death. So Esther's uncle came to her and told her that she needed to go into the king and we need to turn the situation around. This is the paraphrased. And, you know, she said, you know, she's a little nervous, if you know what I mean. Now, that was a crazy marriage relationship, you know what I mean? He hasn't seen his wife in 30 days, you know what I mean? And, of course, he had other wives or concubines, shall we say. But he was had the kind of relationship where evidently he was kind of different. You know, he didn't want to be bothered. And there's a lot of men like that, a lot of dads, which is unfortunate. You know, they don't like to be bothered. So he had a situation that if you come and bother him, if he didn't stick out the golden scepter to you, you'd be put to death. So she was a little bit kind of anxious about this situation of going there to talk to her husband, the king, and try to plead for the Jews' life and everything. So I've done some counseling, and I've seen some crazy relationships. I've never seen one quite like this, praise God. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just out there. So what happened was, you know, he was giving off that unapproachable attitude. And sometimes I think that we feel God's like that sometimes. That we feel that God's unapproachable. Because God's so big and God's so holy and we're so not holy, you know what I mean? We have so many things and, you know, we think that it goes through our mind all the things we've maybe done wrong or why we're not worthy and why it is that God would even spend any time with us. So we need to kind of turn that thinking around. And what happens if we have this rejection, a spirit of rejection, you know, it not only will affect our relationship with God, but I think it kind of affects our relationships and our interactions with other people. If you walk up to somebody and you already feel that you're not worthy or that person is better than you, it's going to put you at a disadvantage in any conversation you may have. You know, that's just the way it works. And we need to try to get God's proper perspective of it, because we just feel, you know, sometimes... And it may not, a lot of times it's us, it's not the other person. Now, there's some people that can be rude, we know that. But a lot of times it's us, you know, it's that self-image issue that we have. And, you know, we feel that maybe people are ignoring us or not paying attention to us. Maybe we feel like we've got the left foot of fellowship. You know, that's an old Bible saying that, you know, when you get kicked out of something. I remember when after I first got saved, I just went right to Bible school. And one of the Bible school directors there, or teachers, she was the missions coordinator at the church, and she asked me to go over and to represent our church at these meetings where we were going to go out and try to reach international students. And I've shared this a little bit before, a long time ago, but, you know, the international students would come to Denver, and they would come there, and they want to get an education. So this ministry had the idea that, hey, we'll just have Christian couples or Christian people go and make friends with them, maybe feed them and things like this. We had little meetings, and then it would open up the door for the gospel, okay? And it did work. It was effective. Well, I went to these meetings, and, you know, my doctrine is we're Assembly of God doctrine. We're Pentecostal. We believe in, you know, gifts of the Spirit and things like that. Well, the guys who were in charge of this fellowship, well, that wasn't them. They were more Baptist. And to be honest, they weren't really rude to me, but they purposely, I could tell, they was trying to leave me out. Because they maybe didn't want our church involved with that. Because Happy Church kind of had a reputation, I guess, of being a little more uplifting. Or, you know, from my perspective, they had fun there. You know what I mean? And our doctrine maybe didn't fit with them. So they would do it, but I mean, I didn't let that bother me. I just pushed right in. I kept asking questions and doing things and, you know, and just pushed right on through. But see, if I wouldn't have known Jesus, oh, they could easily brush me off and I wouldn't have went back. You know, because I struggled growing up a little bit with a spirit of rejection. I felt kind of rejected in life a little bit for whatever reason, and I'm not going to go into my testimony right now about that. But, you know, there's just times, you know, I would go there, I just felt, you know, maybe inadequate. I felt inferior to other people for whatever reason. And, you know, that did affect me. It affected my decision-making. It affected me in my life in many ways. And, you know, I thank Jesus when, you know, he turned that around in my life. And I finally felt, you know, when I came to know him, it took a little process of teaching, but, you know, I finally was able to look at myself in a different way. Because sometimes it hurts. Have you ever, now maybe you didn't have that kind of situation, but there's one that we're a little more used to. Have you ever been on Facebook and maybe you sent out a friend request and they didn't take it? You know what I mean? It's somebody you thought you knew. And, you know, unaccepted. You know what I mean? I don't know. Or maybe you've been a friend with somebody on Facebook and all of a sudden you find out you're not friends with them no more. You know, I don't know which is worse. I mean, you guys think, I don't know. You know, I've had both. I mean, I don't really go around asking people to be my friend that much. I mean, I only need about one or two friends in my life. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, I don't usually send out a lot of requests. I've sent out maybe a couple. But, you know, I have been unfriended. You know, I will say that. And, you know, hey, whatever. It is what it is. You know, and I just kind of laugh it off a little bit. Their loss, right? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But, you know, we can feel like that, you know, sometimes when we're around God. Because I'm going to tell you, people, we all go through things. I'd love to say and promise you that all you have to do is ask Jesus in your heart, and man, you're just going to live on the mountain. Oh, everything's going to be fine. Everybody's going to start liking you now, you know? Not, right? You know, enemies are going to just come out of the woodwork sometimes, you know, just because after you start to like them and after you start to get into God and all these things happen, you know. So we need to just understand the fact that, you know, I want to get us to the place where, you know, you should never feel that you ever have to run away from God. You should feel that you never have anything that you can't talk to your Heavenly Father about. He knows it anyway. You know, we just have to remember that. But I'll tell you, sometimes we feel so ashamed, you know, especially if we know we could do better. You know, I used to be hard on myself a little bit in the beginning of my walk, you know, because I made some mistakes along the way, still do. But I used to really take them personal because, especially if I hurt somebody, you know, with my words. You know, my words are supposed to pick people up. They're not supposed to put people down. You know, I don't mean that to happen. And those things, you know, and then you just kind of feel, you know, all that stuff goes on in your life. You know, I've felt like a square peg in a round hole syndrome. I've had that before, where I just didn't feel, you know, that everything was how it's supposed to be. But what we understand, too, with acceptance, I just want to take a little side turn, not too far, but I want to talk about the importance of a father's acceptance, because we're trying to get to the place where we feel accepted by our Father God. And that's what we need to have, because it's going to put a spiritual imprint on us that we really crave and we really need. But there's also that same kind of feeling with our earthly father, because all of us probably want that stamp from our dad, you know, that stamp of approval. And there's a lot can be said, you know, that, you know, in the Jewish culture, you know, they have the time where, you know, they have the rite of passage, and with boys and girls, I think, where they come up and they're said they're a man or a woman now, and they get that rite of passage, they get that blessing on their life. I mean, we impart blessing with our mouth, and how important that is for our young people, especially to really get that from their father. But I think, you know, sometimes I'm speaking to myself right now, and I'm probably going to hit a couple of you. You know, sometimes I think that us dads, when we are critiquing our children to make them better, we're actually cursing their identity. And that's a fact, because I know that I've done this in my own life, and I don't believe I'm the only one. You know, because, you know, the idea of if we make our children feel that they have to perform to be accepted by us, because that's the message sometimes we send. We don't mean to send that. I was just trying to help them out. I was just trying to make them better. But I do know the ramifications or the side effect of some of that is the fact that I cursed their identity. I made them feel that maybe they weren't accepted, and it made myself unapproachable to them, because nobody likes to be around somebody that's always trying to fix you or critique you, right? You know, so that's a side effect that we have to be careful. And one thing I learned as a father, if you're a young father now, take this to the bank. I learned too late to celebrate more of my children's wins instead of focusing on their losses. You know, we need to focus on the wins, the things that they're good at, the things that they do right, and just promote that and focus less on how they, you know, could be better. I'm not saying you don't have to bring correction to your children, but I'm just saying put your focus where it needs to be. I think a lot of parents sometimes, you know, when their kids do things, they take it personal because their children are a reflection of them. And, you know, If your kid strikes out, that makes it feel like you struck out. You know what I'm saying? So we need to kind of get ourselves past that kind of thinking, because the last thing that we want our children to feel is that they're not good enough. You know, one thing I love about God is the fact that, you know, he will bring correction. I know that. The Holy Spirit brings conviction and things like that, but he never brings condemnation to my life. What he does is, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he'll make me see who I am in Christ. See, I know it's not me, but it's he that's in me. And I can really relate to what Jesus has done on the cross. And the fact that how he changed my identity, that I'm no longer a sinner, but now I'm a saint. See, back in the old days when they preached revivals, the churches weren't very big buildings, some of them. So a lot of the hoot and the hollers, they'd be all inside, you know, and they'd be in there just getting into it, saying amen and all this stuff. Well, a lot of the people who were maybe not quite saved yet, well, they'd stand outside the windows, you know, and they'd have the windows open. Them guys could really scream. I wish I had their lungs, you know. I just don't have that. But they would stand out there, and they just didn't feel good enough to go in. And that's the message that the church sent them. You know, they knew that, you know, they were a sinner and stuff like that. And then some of them snooty Christians, you know, they'd make somebody feel like they weren't welcome or they weren't good enough because you don't have your life right yet. I want a church filled with sinners, people. I want people to feel they can come here and get help.
Thank you, Father.
That's the kind of church that we need. That's the good news. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Is where we bring people in. Hey, you know, if they want help, I'll help them. You know, mostly I trust God. I trust the Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
You know, bringing truth and those things that they need to hear. And it's important. Now, if we don't get that stamp of approval from our Father, we go through life kind of feeling rejected. Now, the good news is, there is a little good news, is that you can still receive your healing from Father God.
Amen.
And still get that stamp of acceptance, because I know that I did from Him. And it just totally changed me on the inside. As a matter of fact, it just made me feel so much different about myself. That idea of what it means to actually be accepted for who I am. And see, that's the message that you and I need to preach. Now, God accepts us as we are. Now, full disclosure, he doesn't expect us to stay that way. But he still accepts us like we are. And then little by little, process by process, things start to turn around and our life gets changed. You know, Romans 2, verse 9 and 11, it says, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man that does evil. Of the Jew first and also to the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there's no partiality with God. And that's what we've got to see. There's no partiality with God. Now, I think sometimes in life, if we look around the room, I mean, if we were being carnal, and don't be carnal, we could look at somebody and we could see somebody's probably a little more blessed than we are. You know what I mean? We could probably look around and say, oh, man. You know, it just seems like God does everything for them. And he doesn't do anything for me. I pray for things and I don't get it. It seems like they don't even pray for anything and they get it. Well, the Bible says here, it talks about what God is. God is not partial. See, God doesn't show favoritism, but he does give favor to those who are obedient. See, that's part of the deal that we need to do, is we need to walk in obedience to God. And here's how it works. And it's kind of like last week's message, about we don't want to get in works righteousness. See, I don't obey God because I want stuff. I obey God because he loves me and I love him.
Amen.
And in that dynamic of that relationship, I get stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's because of the love relationship. He loves me, I love him, and then I walk into another realm of blessing in my life. But I don't have to strive and I don't have to fight to try to get that approval or to get those blessings, because if we get focused on stuff, we're going to go off the wrong road. We're going to be in the ditch again. So we don't want to do that. You know. And when other people are being blessed and we're not, instead of saying, or instead of just being envious, we should be asking, you know, what are they doing that I'm not doing? You know what I mean? What are they doing? You know, how's that working? Because if it works for them, it'll work for us. God is not partial. He doesn't pick certain people to be blessed and some people to be cursed. No. That's not how it works. We need to see that he says here that to the Jew and the Greek, both the same. Same thing. It's we reap what we sow. And we're not really talking about blessing today, but you know the fact, the idea of love. Now Romans 15, 17 says, therefore accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Okay, how we need to act with other people. You know, we need to be accepting. We need to be accepting of other people. You know, and if we do that, then we're going to start to see things change in our life. Now, I don't know about you, but it's hard to preach acceptance if we're not accepting others. You know, if we're getting off the you're not welcome here vibe, it doesn't do how much we say, hey, you're welcome here. You know what I mean? It doesn't work that way. You know, we can't be looking down our nose at people. You know, we need to make sure we walk in the ways of Christ. Now, Jesus accepted me when I was messed up. Just messed up. Wrong thinking. Wrong acting. All kinds of things going on in my life. But he accepted me. I didn't have to quit this or quit that. He just took me right there, right on that spot. That's right. So, if he accepts us that way, shouldn't we think that he will accept others that way? Yes. See, the goal isn't for them to meet our approval. The goal is for them to come in contact with Christ. Because when we come in contact with Christ, that's when things start to change. Amen. You know, Jesus will start to do the work, and it's that love relationship, you know. When you love somebody, you'll do anything for them. And that's how we need to get with our deal. And love grows, I mean. But, I mean, that just amazed me, is how that day that I finally got that revelation that I was accepted. It just totally changed my perspective on things. And accepted people accept other people. Now I want to close with this passage here and kind of share a few points of how we can maybe turn a corner in our life. Very familiar passage. And if you have a Bible, I encourage you to get a Bible. If you don't know what one to get, you know, come see me and we'll encourage you to get a certain style of Bible that has some study notes in it and things like that. So you should have a Bible. Now, electronic Bibles are good. It's quick and easy. You got it in your pocket. But I really feel, just in case the electricity gets shut off, amen, you need to have a book Bible. You need to find one. And it's important. And then when you get one, it's okay to write in it, okay? It's okay to get a little highlighter. There's these gel ones we have around here, and I gave them out at Mother's Day and Father's Day, and I can give you one if you need one. I think I have some left. But you can highlight in your Bible. It doesn't erase it. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to get a magic marker, you know, and write on your... I mean, I've seen people that seems like they did get a magic marker. They took some of that stuff out of there. But no, you want to get a highlighter, and you can highlight this. Now, the reason why I say that, this is one you need to highlight. This is one you need to write down. Need to know what this means. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest that cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Okay, what I see from this is this, come on in. You know what I mean? The door's open. Just come on in. You know, you're part of the family of God. You know, enhance that relationship the closer you get to God. Now, have you ever went to somebody's house and for whatever reason and you can't get past the front door? You know, I have. You know, and you knock on the door and they may crack that thing a little bit, you know. Dude, I'm not going to bite. You know what I'm saying? I'm not that bad a person. You know, but you just don't feel welcome. You can't even get in the door. But God's not like that. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. He will never make you wait outside.
Thank you, Father.
He will let you come on in and be a part of the family of God. You know, it feels awkward when we have to stand at that door. But see, I know that because of the blood of Jesus, not because of who I am, but because of who he is in me. But it's because of the blood of Jesus that we don't have to stop at the door. We can go right in. Okay, now, this passage has kind of some keys of what we need to see about being accepted. Okay, number one, first it says to hold fast your confession. Okay, what's coming out of your mouth? What's coming out of your mouth? You know? First, we need to get our mouth right, because it's important. Because what we think comes out of our mouth, and what comes out of our mouth, it usually it follows with some sort of action on how we really feel. See, it's what's in that. If you monitor what comes out of your mouth, you can kind of tell, you know, where you're really at with a lot of things. And it's important that we do that. So we need to stop saying that, hey, you know, I'm not good enough. You know, I know a lot of people that talk themselves out a lot of blessings in their life. You know, a lot of young people, several in youth group, you know, they say, well, I'm just not good enough. I'm not this and I'm not that. And I just sit there and I just want to pull what's left of my hair out. You know what I mean? I don't have much left, so I just, why are you talking to yourself like that? Don't you know who you are? You're a child of God. You never have to see yourself in that position. You know, don't cut yourself down. Now, there's a difference between humility and a poor self-image, okay? Hey, we need to stay humble, you know. We need to stay humble. But humility points to God, and that's why we can be there. I'm under Him. I know without Jesus, I'm nothing. But I do so all know I'm not dirt either, you know. I don't cut myself down to say that I can't do this or I can't do that. No, that's a poor self-image. It's a doormat. A lot of people struggle with that doormat thing. And you know, a good thing is if we see who we are in Christ, and there's a lot of scriptures you can look at, you can start to turn that around. Secondly, it says here that we can identify with our high priest, Jesus. Okay? Now, I don't know if you ever thought of that before, but you can identify with Him. The Bible says that He came down as a man, and then He walked under the same anointing that you and I have potential to walk in, although He had it without measure. That's a disclaimer there, right? He had the full power. I mean, we have limited power. I mean, if we had full power, no telling what destructive things we would do around here if we had the, you know, if God did everything we said we wanted to do. But anyway, you know, we can identify with Him. He came down here because the first Adam failed, okay? The first Adam failed. He believed the lie. Well, the second Adam, meaning Jesus, He came, He didn't believe the lie because He's the truth. You know, He knew better. And so then He came down and walked, and He can understand, you know, but because He put on this flesh body, it says He can sympathize with us because He understands what you and I are going through. He understands, you know, the fact that maybe, you know, you struggle with an addiction, you know, that He wants to set you free from that addiction, whatever that addiction may be. You know, and He understands that sometimes, you know, your mind wanders and you get to thinking about sinful things. He understands that. And He can set you free from that. He will never turn you away. We always run to Him. And to enter in, you know, through Him. It's through Jesus Christ that we can do things. You know, He's very approachable. Remember the king with Esther? Only if he stuck out the scepter. It said that you could come to the king. Well, Jesus, when He went to the cross, His arms are open wide. He says, come. Come, I made a way. I paid the price. I paid the price. So that's the love that Jesus Christ has for you and He has for me. See, what really amazed me, now, I don't know if you've ever had this. I don't want to tear up here. I don't know why I feel it coming on for some reason. And I don't cry in front of people. No, I'm just kidding. But I do when I worship sometimes. But Jesus came for us. We didn't have to go looking for Him. Have you ever had anybody come looking for you? What's that feel like? When you know that maybe you took a wrong path, and you went down a long road, and somebody came looking for you. And see, that's what Jesus is all about.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
He came looking for you. That's how special you are. That's how much He loves you. And the fact that, you know, it amazes me, but Jesus thinks that we matter. He thinks that we matter. Everybody matters, people.
Yes.
And we just need to see that. We just need to look at people through the eyes of Jesus and start to see it, and you know, and have that confidence in our heart that no matter what, He's never going to let you go. He won't let you go. So don't you ever let go of Him. And Jesus makes a way when it seems like there's no way. And that's how we need to come to our high priest, through that confidence, having that confidence that Jesus made a way when there's no way. And then lastly, this is going to be kind of a different one, but we need to learn how to receive. A lot of people I know are givers, great givers. They'll give you the shirt off their back, but you try to give them something, they won't receive it. Don't know why. It could be a false humility or something like that, you know? So make sure that you put yourself in a position that I receive it, okay? Amen. If somebody pays you a compliment, accept it.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
You know, just accept it. Thank you. They're seeing something in you that, you know, maybe you didn't see. And it's like that with God. You know, some people have a hard time receiving from God. And, you know, just need to rearrange our thinking to some degree. You know, that understanding that, you know, God does want us to be blessed. He wants us to feel full family rights in the family of God, that we feel that, you know, that we can go on in, that we can just come right in. We don't have to wait at the door, just enter in through the blood of Jesus Christ and go there and to be with Him. And know that, you know, it's only natural. If you want to be a blessing, you have to be blessed. Because if you're never blessed, you're not going to have anything to bless them with. Amen?
Amen? Amen.
So, receive the fact that God wants you to know that you're accepted, that you're in the family of God if you're born again. Now, there's a disclaimer there, right? You have to give your life to Christ. But if you really think about it, look what you have now. And look what He has to offer you. You know what I mean? To me, it's an easy trade.
Thank you.
Jesus takes all my junk and He gives us all, gives me all His blessing.
Yeah.
Amen. It's good stuff, isn't it?
Amen. Thank you.
So, know that only through the blood of Jesus we're accepted, but with that blood, you're in. Amen? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You so much for the power of Your Spirit. Lord, just moving here in our midst, Lord. We know that sometimes we may struggle with acceptance. Maybe, you know, our identity has been cursed, whatever the case may be, but it just seems like there's a barrier between us and You. And Lord, we just pray right now that You just remove all those barriers, all those lies that the enemy has tried to bring into our life. And Lord, we just receive everything that You have for us. But Lord, we know the first step is to come into relationship with Jesus Christ, that we have to repent and turn from our sins and say, I want the God life and not my old life. And then we ask that Jesus' blood just cleanse us, and He will.